I'm going to ask if Linda would come to the front. She's going to read from Romans. We've been going through Romans so far, and we're going to be going for another couple of months. But this one fits really well with our baptisms today, so it was a good choice of a date, the day before Robin's birthday. But the passage we'll hear from Linda. So come on up, Linda. She's going to read from Romans chapter 5 if you want to find it. Thank you.
It's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, and I'm reading from the New Century Version. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through our faith has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We also have joy in our troubles, because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us, because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. He gave us his love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us. When we were unable to help ourselves, at the right time Christ died for us, although we were living against God. Very few people will die to save the life of someone else, although perhaps for a good person someone might possibly die. But God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're just going to spend a few moments reflecting on that, and to help us do that, I thought I'd show you another holiday picture. My wife, Lorraine, and I, in the summer, were able to walk in the mountains in Switzerland, and then we saved our longest hike for the final day of our stay. And during the course of that long hike, we kind of scaled something like 700 meter elevation gain. And most of it, there were no cable cars for this one, okay? Most of it was making our way on a path that followed cascading mountain rivers and streams and climbing through woodland. And a recent storm had really kind of changed the landscape. We lost the path a few times because we'd had the trees broken down, debris and mudslides and so on. And so finding the right path was quite a challenge. And eventually we came to this place where it all opened out. And we had grassy mountain meadows, and we could stop and take in this amazing view. Have we got a photo of that one, please? Yeah? No? Yeah. Oh, and we sat down, had our lunch, and as we were doing that, we were able to kind of reflect on the journey so far, where we'd kind of got to, and this amazing open place that we'd come to in that part. And I guess that's what we're doing today in two different ways. One, with the baptisms. It's fantastic hearing those stories of God at work in your lives, those who are being baptized. And you've had a chance to reflect on it all. And it's true, in being baptized, you've turned from everything you know is wrong in your life, you've turned to God. And you're trusting in him, this gift of faith. You're trusting in that for yourselves. And you're telling everybody, this is real for me, what Jesus has done. And we get to share in your journey so far. But it also works as well for our journey through the book of Romans. Andrew Ollerton describes reading the letter that Paul wrote, this ancient letter, as like climbing a mountain. So hence the photos. And he says, you know, we start in the valley of sin, the depths, realizing just how twisted human nature can become and how far from God we can stray through sin in our life. Simon, a few weeks back, just said, we're all on the same level. As Paul puts it, for all have fallen short of God's mark. All need God's love to reach us. And so verse 8 of what Linda just read to us, chapter 5, God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That dying and the rising, death and resurrection, brings hope. There are lots of images we were looking at last week as we, so just looking at where we've come from, we're redeemed. That was one of the things midweek groups were looking at. The price has been paid to buy us back, to release us. Atonement has been made. It's the image within the temple of a sacrifice required for someone to be right with God. Jesus has become that sacrifice once and for all. We're justified. In other words, we are put right with God. To pick up a legal image from the ancient courts and so on. Very rich. It's just amazing what God has done. And we come out into this spacious place and can look back. Wow. Now, can we do this for ourselves? Those being baptized, have they worked their way up for that? No. Not with human effort, nor striving for moral purity or to pay the price in some sort of way. Lisa, who was speaking last week, said, no. Faith is a gift. It's a gift. God freely did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves through Christ. The sinless Jesus bore the punishment that the guilty deserve. And his resurrection brings us new life that we could never earn or merit. So, you know, that's where we are in our journey. We've come to this place of peace where we can look back, oh, the depths. But, oh, isn't it amazing what God has done? God has brought us into a right relationship with himself. And you could pick that up within the testimonies that we've just heard. Now, what's the ongoing effect? Our passage kind of gives us something which, for you who are getting baptized today, this is where you are now and your ongoing journey. And for the rest of us as well, we can draw on this for our ongoing journey. Peace with God, access through into the presence of God and his grace, his amazing grace, and love, unconditional love that stays with us and grows us. That's what this passage will speak to you today. First, peace with God. Verse 1, since we've been made right with God by our faith, which is a gift, we have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's writing to Rome. In the years before Jesus was born even, peace was established through the Roman Empire under a guy called Caesar Augustus, and they called it the Pax Romana. And it would go on to last for about 200 years, lasting through enforcement. But this peace came at a cost. It was achieved through the blood of the enemies of Rome across the different lands that they invaded. That was Caesar's peace. And what Paul does here is he draws a distinction between that peace and the peace that we now have. As he writes to these Christians in Rome, peace with God, made possible only through the blood, not of God's enemies, but through the blood of his precious one and only Son. And it's a peace established for all time. Even just saying the word peace, you kind of feel the good bit. And we love the idea, don't we, of tranquility, a feeling of tranquility and stillness. Well, elsewhere in Paul's writing and letters, he talks about, you know, how you can deal with anxious thoughts and worrisome work and all those kind of things, as he talks about the peace of God that just transforms our minds. But here, it's not so much about that feeling and that peace of God, but it's the peace we have with God, that doesn't depend on feelings, but on a completed work of Jesus. Like God saying, it's sorted. That's where we've come to in our journey. For you being baptized today, it's sorted. You know if there's something between you and someone else that's not right, that needs sorting, because somehow it affects everything. Moods, responses, level of trust, and all that kind of stuff. But if that something can be brought into the open and dealt with, if it can, and the issues resolved, apologies made if necessary, then you find yourself in this place of peace because there's nothing between. And the strain and the striving that didn't take you anywhere have ceased. Peace. Peace come. And peace with God is something like that. It's not a mood based on our behavior, but something that God has done. What separated us from God has been dealt with, removed. Now we have peace with God. Since we've been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. And this is a solid foundation for your onward journey. Peace with God. It's not something that changes because it's sorted. And God smiles over you and rejoices over you, not just because of today, but because there is peace with God. There's no uncertainty in God's mind, no frown on his face, but you've been brought into a right relationship with God, and so you now can live out of the peace you have with God. We stopped on that hike. You know, we were beyond the steep path, for all the effort of getting there, and we were able to just enjoy everything. The sun got to us and the views and the openness. And part of that openness is peace with God. So I'd say to you, as you reflect on today, or even as in the coming week, if you're being baptized today and you feel like this or feel like this, beyond all of that, God sorted something. Peace with God and you have it. Take hold of it and thank him, because you live under the smile of God. There's nothing between you and him. There need be nothing. Peace with him. Second thing, access. Access granted to be in God's presence and grace. I remember a meeting with our MP in Portcullis House, which is the other side of the road from the Palace of Westminster in the centre of London. It was a bunch of church leaders, and we gathered outside with our passports, and we approached the heavily guarded entrance at the appointed time we were supposed to be there. Our MP had given the time and given our names and authorised access to the parliamentary estate. And so we were able to pass the guards who were armed with machine guns and the like and all this kind of stuff. We had our ID validated. We went through airport style security of everything we were wearing and carrying. And we had our photo taken and these badges printed there and then with all the details on and a lanyard round our neck for the onward journey. One man, our MP, at the time, had opened access for us to a meeting room in Portcullis House. In fact, it was far more than that, because in the meeting he said, look, at some point the division's bell is going to go and I need to go and vote in the lower chamber. And so at that point we can go through. And so the bell went and we went down the stairs with a load of MPs and everything else. And we went under the tunnel that goes under the road and popped up the other side. He went off to vote once he also had gained access to us into the chapel of St. Mary Undercroft. And we were able to pray until he could come back and join us and we prayed together. One man opened up all of that, our MP. It was great. But Jesus does far more than that. What does Paul say in verse 1 and 2? This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through faith has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. Or as the New International Version puts it, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Enjoy that today in your baptism. If you're on a journey with Christ, enjoy that. Remind yourself today, redeemed, saved, justified by Christ. All that God has done has given us access into this amazing place where God is present. We can know him. He knows us. And we're there with confidence. And Jesus has opened the way. He's given us access. And we stand in the grace of God. his favor, his pleasure, his blessings. This is the place of peace, the place of grace. You know, someone once defined grace as, God can never love us less than he does now. He can never, nothing we could do could ever make him love us more. It's just the sheer grace of God, his pure love. Do I deserve this? No, that's the whole point. It's not about me or anything I do. It's from God. It's his favor and undeserved love. And we have access to that. We get to stand and live and move in that. So it's there. Peace with God and access. Come with confidence. Know God's smile over you. When you turn to him at any point, just to converse with him, whether you're sitting down or on the move, just rejoice that God's been longing for that moment where consciously you've turned to him and he and you can enjoy that time together. And not only that, but he gives us the security of his love. You know, love, it's love that stays with us and grows us, I said, didn't I, earlier? On this day, as we celebrate the baptism for young people, it's easy to think that, well, okay, it's all hunky-dory now, doing life with God. It's pretty smooth and level pathway. Themes like peace, access to God, assurance of his love. That's incredible, isn't it? But what I really love is the reality of Paul's reflections on God's saving work. He's not naive about the challenges of life. For sure, as he came to Christ, a complete turnaround for him, he had to face these same things as he served Christ. He had a completely fresh start in life. He had a new purpose, a new mission. But he faced trouble and trouble. God never promises that our lives will be free from hardship. But he does promise to be with us, to sustain us through them. What does he say, Paul, in verse 2? He's excited because what has opened up to us is this hope of sharing God's glory, which talks about the future, but it's part of that now. But he says this in verse 3, we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience. Or another translation of the Bible says perseverance. And patience produces character. Character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. Joy with our troubles. You just think, well, how could that be? Well, Jesus was really clear. It was the night that he was betrayed. The very night that he says it gives it added poignancy. And it's recorded in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, verse 33. In this world, you will have trouble. How is it going to be? And that's exactly what's going to happen for him. In this world, you will. But take heart. I have overcome the world. He speaks about the reality of something he's going to achieve for them. He has overcome as if it's already happened. And it really has now from our viewpoint on the mountain. It's done. No follower of Jesus is immune from the challenges that life throws it in our path. But joy comes. Joy comes because, what did Paul say? God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. God has poured out this unconditional love to fill our hearts. We know we're not alone. We know that Jesus has overcome the worst of human existence. We know we're with him. And his love never diminishes. It's what keeps us going. And because he loves us enough to grow us, to grow our resilience, as it were. Did you get that progression there? He cultivates patience and perseverance that then leads to character that grows. And in turn, hopelessness turns to hopefulness with him because he has poured out his love, filling our hearts. We called this autumn series that we're doing, How God's Good News Changes Lives. I'll tell you what, the more we peel back the cover, and we've got more to come next week and the following week, the more we discover just how much it changes our lives. Maybe let's just take hold of what we've got today, because that's it, that's amazing. Whatever comes, for you four who've been baptized, for each of us here, whatever comes today, tomorrow, next week or next year, actually there's something powerful. You know you've turned from everything that's wrong. You've turned to trust in Jesus, what he has done, already done. That means you have peace with God. That which is freely given, and there's nothing between you and him, and you have access into this glorious, spacious place. The grace of God, and thank him for that. No matter how you feel, the truth, you know, what can change? How you feel in the circumstances around, or what Christ has done? Well, the things that can change are that. Things that sorted are what we live by. The security of God's love. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. For the purposes he has for you. And for you four who are getting baptized today, he does have purposes. And what he started, he's going to see through and finish. And his love is being poured out upon you and filling you. And he will cultivate your character and grow you and give you hope. Amen.